So Samuel was number two, a prophet. And then 1 Samuel, we look at also at 1 Samuel, and this time in chapter 7, verse 15. So Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. So number three, Samuel had the anointing, the kingly anointing on him in a small measure because he was a judge. Now I want you to know, there is a very difficult thing to harmonize three offices. Paul stood in three offices. Turn to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. For which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle, and speaking the truth in Christ, not lying, and a teacher. So Paul stood in three offices. He was an evangelist, he was an apostle, and he was a teacher. That is in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. Now sometimes God can call a person to more than one office. It's a very difficult thing to harmonize three offices. Because if you have three, you must know which one has priority. Which one has the greatest priority. And in Samuel's life, although he stood in three offices, he has to harmonize it and know which one was a priority. Do you notice that it took a different thing for him to become a priest, a prophet, and a judge? To be a priest, which has to do with a lot of service towards the people and unto God, he moved into it through the Nazarite vow. To be a prophet and move in the prophetic office, he has to move into the area, or what I call the spiritual area. Hearing the word of God, the experiential, hearing God speaking all the time. Now notice that the priestly office has to do with the written word alone. Proof for that is another person in the Bible has a 100% priest office, Ezra. Ezra was a priest and a scribe. And if you read the story of Ezra, which we will cover in course of this teaching, Ezra was an expert at the word. You see, each office takes a different thing to move into. So remember this, if God called you to be apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, ministry, or helps, each, right? All the five, you're going to pay a heavy price. But understand, if you're called to one of those five, or two of those five, or none of those five, but those supportive ministry, David's Mighty Man, that it takes a different thing to qualify for each office. Don't try to be like somebody. Just be what God called you to be. In other words, if God called you to be a priest, most probably you will be much more stronger on the word side, or what I call the analysis side of the word, than a prophet. A prophet, if you notice in Deuteronomy, is one given to visions and dreamer of dreams, another word for them. See, they are one given to that kind of atmosphere. But a priest is very grounded here. And so if God called you to be a pastor, don't try to be a prophet. Understand the difference between them. Because if you don't understand the difference, you will use the wrong laws to fulfill the other one. Some of you are moving into areas that God called you to be. Discover it in your life. Don't imitate, don't follow, but learn. That's all. Learn how different each one is. Now, Samuel was also a judge. But of all the three, this is how I put Samuel. Samuel's strongest office and anointing was a prophet. His second strongest was a priest. And his weakest and smallest was the judge. So Samuel was a prophet first, a priest second, and a judge third. Now, remember this, if you stand in more than one office, people are going to mix that up all the time. And sometimes people prefer that you be a judge first and a priest second and a prophet last. Why? They don't like prophets. Always point finger at them. Some others prefer that you're the priest first, a judge none of the time, and a prophet not at all. So it's a very difficult task. Now, if you're a pastor of the church and perhaps you're a pastor teacher, some of your church people may say, I prefer you as teacher pastor. But some other church members will say, I prefer you more pastoring than your teaching. You can't help it. You've got to get back to God and discover what your priorities are. And don't be shifted away from them. Do you notice Paul always knows the order of his call? He always puts the order. He says it twice in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. Preacher, apostle, teacher. Now, Hagin was a prophet teacher. In his book, I believe, in Visions, his biography, he tried to be teacher, prophet, nearly died. Dangerous. Now, you could be a businessman teacher. If you try to be teacher, businessman, business die, you die. So some of you may stand in different offices. You could be a musician, businessman. Then you try to be businessman, musician. So music die, you die. Know the priorities and order. Now, nobody can tell you what order what the order is, because only you know in your own spirit and your own heart. And so Samuel rose up. And do you know he was successful most as a prophet? As a prophet. Priest, he was quite successful, very successful. But he was not very successful as a judge. He was so successful as a prophet that you notice here in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter, look at 1 Samuel, and we're looking now at chapter 16. Chapter 19, that's right. 1 Samuel 19. In verse 20, you notice what it says? Then Saul sent messengers to take David, and when they saw the group of prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as what? Say leader. Say leader. See, Samuel was standing as the leader over the whole group of prophets. So I want you to know that from that verse you could trace it back, that the group of prophets who used to prophesy, even when he anointed Saul, were the people and his students that he raised up. Samuel was so successful as a prophet that he was able to raise other prophets. He was the one who started the school of prophets, and later on when he died, other prophets took over, and Elijah took over that school, and then Elisha took over that school. That school lasted for many generations. It was very successful. That was his strongest impact in society. Remember this. Don't try to be the jack of all trades. You will end up the trade of no jacks. Even in the ministry of God, you will only have greatest impact in one area. The others will be minor. If you try at everything, you will not succeed. Now, Samuel also has his failures. Samuel's greatest failure were as a judge. 1 Samuel chapter 8. Verse 1. Now, it came to pass when Samuel was old, that he made his son judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, the name of his second Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, look, you're old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make for us a king to judge us like all the nations. Now, Samuel failed as a judge. He was so successful in bringing up other prophets, but he was not successful in bringing up judges. Don't move into areas where you have no priorities. You see, he should not have put his sons as judges. He should have left that to God. That was not his jurisdiction. His jurisdiction was he himself be judged and leave that to God. Leave the successor to God. Now he was successful in bringing successors in prophets, but not successful in judges. In the priesthood, he didn't do much because he was not a Levite himself, so the next one would have to be others. Why did Samuel fail as a judge and appointing other judges, his own sons? Because deep in Samuel's life, Samuel was never a married man. Samuel was devoted to the Lord, and he never married at all. But he did. Because he had sons. So he was married. But Samuel never have the kind of training to bring up family members like he should have. And do you know why Samuel had that problem? He said, how can he, anointed man of God, so powerful, prophet of God, school of prophets, so powerful, anyone go near the prophetic anointing come on them, even though they're not prophets? How come? Because when Samuel was a young little boy growing up, he had never known what a good family is like. Samuel, if he had any recall or visited his real mother, Hannah, his father, Elkanah, and the other fellow who was still there, Penina, always see quarrel, fighting. Right? That was no good example for him. Then when Samuel came and he is now sort of adopted or brought up by Eli, Eli also as bad. Eli's own son doing all the wrong things. Eli himself not a good person to bring up children. As a result of that, there was a little area in his life that was never trained properly. And later on, when Samuel himself became a family man, the same family problems that was in his real parents, that was in his adopted parents' life, came into his life. So we must realize that if you don't deal with your past will appear in the future. Even if you're anointed, appointed, chosen of God. If you don't deal with those areas, if you're a person who is basically lazy, and you don't deal with those areas, and it's always there, the old habits are always there, it will come up in your future. If in the past you're always quarreling with people, always hard to get along. Don't think just because there's an anointing on your life that you can get away with it. You pay the price for that again. The anointing doesn't excuse you from learning to relate with people. People may put up with you more because of the anointing, but in the final run, they cannot put up with it. And that is why Samuel failed. Because he never had an example to follow in his family life. And he may have subconsciously even followed the negligence of Eli or even of Elkanah. Liberal. Which is why sometimes I talk to some people who are from the Western world and Asians who went there for training. And they come back and they want to minister in Asia. Some of their idiosyncrasies they pick up are bad. Say, what do you mean, brother?